Sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
Hello and welcome. Today we're going to be continuing a conversation started last week about insolvency. So that is debt-related issues that are really overwhelming for people. There are solutions that are available, and I've asked a special guest to come back. Leah was with me last week. We talked about consumer proposals. We had some really good questions come out of that program, so I've invited her to come back, and this time we're going to speak specifically about bankruptcy. Leah Drewcock is a licensed insolvency trustee. She works with MNP here in Prince George, British Columbia. Leah, welcome. Thanks so much for coming back.
Hi, Deb. Thanks for having me again.
So can you talk to us a little bit about how you became a licensed insolvency trustee? And I realize that this was a long journey, but I wonder if you can just summarize it for the listeners who missed last week's program.
Sure. Essentially, I was working in the accounting field in the late 90s, and I had an opportunity to work with an insolvency trustee at KPMG. I was assisting them with their personal income tax returns for their individual debtors, and I realized how much I was enjoying the work with individuals, helping them get their fresh start and relieve their debt burden. So in 2000, I started working in the insolvency field, and in May of 2009, I obtained my trustee designation as a licensed insolvency trustee. Back then, we were called bankruptcy trustees. And no turning back. Here we are today.
And here we are today in 2018. So you've been in the field for quite some time.
I have.
Okay. Not to make you feel old or anything.
I just, do. Thank you.
Just experience. Okay. So again, let's just talk about insolvency briefly. Can you define insolvency for us? I mean, it is an awkward word. We understand the word debt. We understand the word over our heads in debt. But what is actually insolvency?
Well, to be considered insolvent is this very small definition, actually. You have to owe at least $1,000 and be unable to pay your debt as it is due, or you do not have the value of your assets enough to sell them and pay out your liabilities.
So that's fairly succinct.
Yes.
It can have a range of sort of urgency or a range of problematic feelings and emotions and situations that accompany insolvency. But pretty much the basic line is you owe $1,000, you can't pay your bills, and it's basically $1,000 and up.
That's correct.
Okay. So are there any do-it-yourself kits for dealing with insolvency through bankruptcy? There's all kinds of do-it-yourself videos and YouTubes and all kinds of do-it-yourself books. Is there a do-it-yourself bankruptcy kit?
No, you can't do it yourself. It is a very complex legal process. And in Canada, only a licensed insolvency trustee can administer a bankruptcy.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your position and maybe a little bit of a controversial position. So an insolvency trustee is in the unique position of working on behalf of both creditors and debtors. Is that correct, first of all?
That is correct. Yes.
So some people might think those interests are in opposition. How does that play out in your professional practice?
It does seem that way, doesn't it? And there are times when you feel, as a licensed insolvency trustee, that you're a little bit in between. I often think of us as referees, ensuring both sides, the debtors and the creditors, are playing fair, playing by the rules, and not committing any offenses. We're tasked with protecting the rights of the creditors while investigating the affairs of the debtor and ensuring that the debtor's rights are not abused. And sometimes we liquidate assets, we always monitor income and expenses, and we have to report to stakeholders. So that can be sort of a juggling act sometimes.
It seems like too many hats.
It can be, but we are officers of the court. We're obligated to report and be honest. We have our own code of ethics, and we're federally legislated. So,
but you can understand that some people would be in the position of thinking, like, how can you best represent my interests and my creditors at the same time, when clearly some people have felt that they've been taken advantage of, when you hear terms like predatory lending and those type of things. How do you respond to that?
For sure. I can understand why people would feel that way. And there are times when we can clearly see that an individual's rights, for us to be able to advise them, could be crossing over into the legal field. So we do recommend sometimes that individuals and businesses obtain their own independent legal counsel.
So what about the other side of this coin? So I've heard other people express their belief that bankruptcy is just a provision that allows people to be irresponsible with their money. So are there safeguards in place to prevent the abuse of the bankruptcy process?
Well, part of the insolvency process, the legal process itself of filing a bankruptcy, the legislation is there for the honest and unfortunate debtor who can't pay their debt. Mm-hmm. The superintendent of bankruptcy, there are safeguards in the legislation to prevent the abuse of the bankruptcy process. The Office of the Superintendent of Bankruptcy, also known as the OSB, has a special investigation unit that conducts interviews and investigations into bankruptcy abuse and fraud. And the results of investigation could lead to court intervention, criminal investigation, fines, and conditional orders.
So there are very strict guards, guardrails, if you will, in place to keep the bankruptcy, as the legislation and the process of administering it, as pure as possible.
Absolutely. We are trying to protect the integrity of the insolvency process and prevent its abuse. Obviously, there are always situations where there will be somebody who slips through the cracks, but there are fail-safes in place to try and catch all of those abuses.
Right. And having that as part of, you're part of that process, you're accountable to the court system, you're accountable to legislators that you are accurately applying this process. So you're part of that, of keeping this process on the straight and narrow, also both creditors and debtors working through the process, because you can't properly rehabilitate if you're not honest.
That's right. That's right. And you're not helping yourself either.
No, exactly. So I often speak with individuals and couples who have gone through bankruptcy, and they speak about the process with some shame and embarrassment, and really that those around them, they really couldn't understand their situations. And of course, if they shared, sometimes the comments that were made with friends and family made the situation feel worse. What's your perspective on the social stigma that seems to surround the bankruptcy process?
Just the word itself, bankruptcy, can be scary to people, and it comes with all these feelings and thoughts. Over the years, I've seen a shift in thinking, and I know I've only been doing this, as you say, for about 18 years. But I don't see the same reaction towards bankruptcy that I saw when I first started in the industry. In fact, just recently, I was speaking with a couple who finally came to the decision that bankruptcy was the right option for them. They'd been considering it for a long time. And they said to me that they'd spoken with family members, and family members were so happy to hear that they had finally made this decision because they had seen this couple struggling financially, and they were happy to see that they'd found a solution to let them get their fresh start.
Wow. And friends and family usually are such a support if they understand the process of bankruptcy. They can be a support. Everyone has opinions, but they've often lent money.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they get burned by that as well.
Right. But sometimes people who are really struggling. So I encourage families and those support networks to really get behind people who are struggling with their debt, and to encourage them to come and talk to a trustee, at least get information, whether you file or not, get the information you need for your specific situation.
That's right. Knowledge is power. So you won't have that knowledge if you don't ask the questions.
So I'm sure many people wonder if their specific situation can be helped by meeting with the trustee. Maybe they think they don't actually have enough debt, or, you know, even though, of course, it feels like the weight of the world on their shoulders. Or others may think they have too much debt and all hope is gone and there really aren't any solutions available. How would you respond to both of those parties?
I would say that, as already said, knowledge is power. So inform yourself, ask the questions, get the free consultation, research your options. There's so much information online. And then once you have gathered that information, and you can make an informed decision. We as trustees, we encourage you to at least make that first call, have the conversation. If it turns out that we see that you need some serious assistance, then we'll recommend probably a bankruptcy or a proposal. But there are other options, and I always try to make referrals outside if it's not a situation where I'm required to intervene.
So it's interesting now that you're aware that I am a financial counselor.
Correct.
So on one side of bankruptcy, when that is the obvious solution, and I say obvious with sincerity, that's not a flippant word that I'm using in that situation, mm-hmm. but people's emotions and people's responses to it, I hear words like failure,
I hear words that shame. I don't know how I'm going to face myself. I don't know how I'm going to look in the mirror. I've let my kids down. All of these type of phrases and feelings that they express. When the bankruptcy has been filed, I hear words like relief.
Yes.
I can breathe. The phone is not ringing off the hook. Almost 24, it feels like 24/7. Of course, creditors have certain limitations on when they can call and how many times they can call, but the phone's not ringing anymore. And I remember one lady telling me that she had not answered her phone in 2 years. And she had call display, but she was so petrified of answering the phone, even if it was a local number showing on the call display, because she figured someone had some software somewhere that was tricking her.
And I do sometimes.
You know, when her husband had passed away, it was a very unfortunate situation where debt was found out after a spouse had passed away. She had no idea how to deal with it and what to do. But not answering the phone for 2 years, she said that every time that phone rang, her stomach would just knot immediately.
It's funny when I meet with somebody and we've filed their bankruptcy or their proposal, and I advise them that we're going to be notifying all of their creditors on their behalf and we'll be working with them to make sure the calls stop. When I say, don't be afraid to answer the phone, because now you can tell them, you're not allowed to collect from me anymore, I'm protected by the bankruptcy, you just see this relief wash over them, but also fear, because they have been scared to answer the phones.
Yes, which maybe that seems like a low-level comment for me to make, and yet it was a frequent comment that I heard from people who were going through bankruptcy, that they were finally able to answer the phone.
No, that's more of an extreme situation where the debt has gotten through collections and to that point where they are getting the calls. Not everybody waits that long to call us,
but
I do hear that a lot.
So I really appreciate you coming to speak with us about bankruptcy. I'd like to get into some more specific details, but I want to really, first before we get into that section, I want to talk about the attitude that I had to bankruptcy many years ago. My attitude had been that it was a distant process, a very legal process, a kind of a sterile process. And then when I studied bankruptcy and got into the industry, I realized that this is a very dynamic piece of legislation that has been specifically crafted to assist individuals who are suffering under a huge load of debt, or maybe even not a huge load of debt, because that's a very relative term, to have a second chance, to have that fresh start, and to be able to go through a process of forgiveness from debt and a process of learning how to use financial instruments to their benefit. And of course, there's a myriad of reasons as to why bankruptcy occurs, but the process itself was a beautiful, merciful piece of legislation. I was delighted to find that out.
It's a complex legislation because, as you say, we are required to represent multiple interests. So a lot of work has gone into this legislation and it's constantly being amended. One thing I would like to say is that in my experience, most people want to pay their debt, and they do feel ashamed that they're struggling to do so, and they feel awful that they can't get their debts paid. So this bankruptcy legislation is in place to help those experiencing a financial crisis to get a fresh financial start.